Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
In 1989, American singer-songwriter Tom Petty released his debut album, Full Moon River. On that album, his longest and highest-charting song, Free Fallin', was the first finished by Petty and writing partner Jeff Lynne. Who would have known that almost 20 years later, the song about a breakup would still be at the end of the night bar staple and the title of yet another two-parter episode of a Canadian television show about anxiety and living up to expectations. Yes, Narbos and Broomheads, we are here tonight to fall freely into part one of season six, episode 14, Free Falling, and catch up with a brand new, albeit slightly broken, Paige Michaelchuk. And who have we got here tonight that's a good girl that loves her mama? Where's that hoe from the O?
What?
What
the fuck? Ew.
You don't know the good song? Girl. It's from the song.
I know the song.
You don't know the song?
Long Courtney. Jesus.
Jesus.
And America, too.
Yeah, is there a freeway running through your yard or what?
What is happening?
What? I hate Tom Petty. I hate him.
Really?
Fuck Tom Petty.
Okay, well, interesting. All right. You remember when Tom Petty died and they thought he died, and then they were like, oh, no, he didn't die. And people were like, see, Tom Petty is saying he won't back down. And then he died.
he had the last laugh.
Yeah. He showed his fans. He's like, fuck you. And then he died. Anyways.
Fuck you.
I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm out of here. Here's my next one. Death.
I actually just watched, or for like the fifth time, This is 40, the movie with Paul Rudd. And one of my favorite scenes is, in fact, when the character, the wife lady, insults the little boy and calls him Tom Petty. in a negative way. Uh-huh. Oh, it's so great. Anyways. Hi, everybody. It's me, Courtney, not Tom Petty.
Really?
And I'm back.
Oh, wow.
But I'm back from the dead like Tom Petty, I guess.
Good job.
I missed everybody. Well,
she missed
almost
you,
everybody.
The most.
You'll find out. But yeah, Ottawa, nothing happening up here.
Well,
I don't know.
Your boyfriend, what? Trudeau, is single now.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
He's single. Oh, single lady. And Sophie is too. Shitty time to get married, Alan.
No, Sophie apparently repartnered, is what they said.
Already?
Yeah. Already? There, the disclosure that's come out is that she hooked up with some doctor.
Some doctor?
Well, I don't know who. I didn't really pay that much attention, but that's what I read. If it's in the news and on the internet, it's got to be true. So,
It's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I haven't watched the news or listened to the news or read the news in a long time.
So according to you, everything in the Middle East right now is just fine, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Why? What's the matter? What's going on? Something happening?
Nothing happened in Maine this week. No, none of those things. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm living on Easy Street, so we might as well just keep on. Who am I going to see? Alan. Just kidding. Teddy.
I would like to see before Ted talks. I literally lived on Easy Street when I was growing up, just so you know. So.
Ooh, E-A-S-Y?
Yep.
Wow, that's pretty
nice. Sweet.
Yep. I mean, it was fine. It was a suburb, so it was a suburban house, so it wasn't, like, super rich, but it was Easy Street. That was the name of the street. So, hey-o. Anyways.
How many times did you do that as a kid?
All the time.
This is the icebreaker that will not fail. Like, it's a perennial icebreaker.
Yeah, where do I live? Easy Street. Hey-o. That's what I said. Yeah.
High five. I was left hanging. Hi, I'm Ted.
Hi, Ted.
Yeah. Hello. Hi, everybody. Welcome back, Courtney.
Thank
you. We miss you. And let's see. Let's throw it to somebody else. Let's throw it to Adam.
Who?
Sorry.
I'm just trying to
accent. Did you turn French?
Alain. Bonjour.
Alain.
Alain.
You can say it so sleek. Alain.
All right. So, hi, everybody. It's Alan. I'm in Toronto, and I want to read some emails. A few weeks ago, I talked about how I got ChatGPT to spit out a completely bullshit Degrassi storyline and encouraged people to do this, and there are two who ended up doing it. So the first one here, I have an email from Barry Flynn.
Barry Flynn, what a babe.
Yeah, so...
You should get that guy on. He emails a lot.
Yeah, fucking leave us alone, stalker boy. So so here's what Barry plugged into ChatGPT. The idea, by the way, was that I was horsing around with it, and ChatGPT clearly does not know what happened on the OG Degrassi series. So Barry asked, what happened to Snake's brother on Degrassi Junior High?
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes.
ChatGPT said, in Degrassi Junior High, Snake, whose real name is Archie Simpson, has a younger brother named Glenn Simpson. So that's wrong. Mm-hmm. Glenn is a recurring character. Wrong. That appears in the in a few episodes. Wrong. His most notable appearance is in the episode titled A Helping Hand. That would be the episode with Mr. Colby. So
yeah,
wrong.
Mr. Colby episode. Yeah.
Where he gets involved in a dangerous situation. In this episode, Glenn hangs out with the older delinquent kids who pressure him into stealing a car stereo. Remember that episode, everybody?
I kind of want to watch this one.
Unfortunately, the situation takes a dangerous turn, leading to Glenn being involved in a car accident. Glenn ends up in the hospital with injuries, and Snake feels guilty because he believes he should have been a better role model for his brother. What?
that was a real story.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Yeah. So then Barry asked, who were the older delinquent kids that Glenn Simpson hung out with when he stole the car stereo? It says again that he was with older kids, but they didn't really focus on who the kids were. And the show's about peer pressure. And then he says, when did the Degrassi Junior High episode A Helping Hand air? And it says it originally aired on January 29th, 1987. The episode was part of the first season of Degrassi Junior High, and it addressed important issues related to peer pressure and making responsible choices, or teachers who molest kids. So, yeah. So, thanks, Barry, and thanks, ChatGPT. And then here's one. I actually have not read this yet. When I was going to our email account to read Barry's, earlier on this evening, Rob Elkin wrote us. I think this is the first time we've heard from Rob. He says, longtime listener of the podcast, I thought I'd share a couple of ChatGPT stories. In the Degrassi episode Stressed Out, we see Wheels spreading peanut butter on a piece of toast. read one or both. No matter to me, here's what I generated. So it says, one morning, Derek Wheels Wheeler woke up with a craving for peanut butter toast. He stumbled into the kitchen, still half asleep, and fumbled around for a loaf of bread, a jar of peanut butter, and a butter knife. Wheels had always been a bit groggy in the mornings. By this time, his grogginess was at a whole new level. As he spread a thick layer of peanut butter to a slice of bread. Wheels got lost in thought, thinking about the day ahead. He had a big math test and an important meeting with the guidance counselor to discuss his future. But right now, all he could think about was the delicious peanut butter. With his toast complete, Wheels went to take a big bite, only to realize that he'd forgotten one crucial detail. He hadn't put the other slice of bread on top.
Oh my gosh, the horror.
The result was a sticky mess of peanut butter clinging to the roof of his mouth and the insides of his cheeks. Panicking, Wheels tried to speak, but all that came out was a muffled, "Uh-oh, I goofed." In a desperate attempt to remedy the situation, Wheels grabbed the other slice of bread and tried to sandwich the peanut butter, but it only made things worse. Just then, Wheels' friend Joey walked into the kitchen, greeted by the sight of Wheels with a handful of peanut butter and a comically bewildered expression. Joey burst into laughter, unable to contain himself. Wheels started to laugh too. He attempted to communicate through exaggerated facial expressions, trying to convey that he'd forgotten the second slice of bread on his peanut butter toast.
Oh, my
God. End episode.
Oh, no. There's one more thing.
Oh, please.
From that day on, Wheels' peanut butter toast mishap became a legendary inside joke amongst their friends and was a story they would share with laughter for years to come. Yep.
You know what the legendary means? I don't think they're sure of that. Also, computers obviously don't know how to eat.
Yes. No.
It's like it's all over the insides of my cheeks. Oh no!
How did I do this? That was awesome.
It's not my fault. Lucy wanted peanut butter.
It's a car crash in my mouth.
Yeah. So thanks, Rob, for sending that in. If you want to keep sending us, especially OG stories, go and fuck with ChatGPT and see if it'll give you misinformation. And send your stories in, narwhalsandbroomheads@gmail.com, because they're highly amusing. One could argue more amusing than the episode we're about to discuss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For
I just
sure.
want to talk about peanut butter again. That was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope it was crunchy peanut butter.
Oh no, I can't do that. It gets caught in your teeth, man. It's crazy.
And then it's gonna scrape your mouth if you're having that problem.
Mm.
What?
Might as well kill yourself.
Deep razor blades.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Are we ready to jump in?
Well, please.
Yeah. Just
so we, once again, we are talking about season 6, episode 14, Free Fallin', part 1. Free Fallin' was named after the Tom Petty song, which I mentioned in the opening. I don't know if Alan or anybody has got any other information they want to talk about it before we go.
Released in 1989, arguably his most well-known song. Only hit number 7 in the U.S., though, so interesting. But yeah.
Dave Grohl also said no to being Tom Petty's drummer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's my random fact. Good choice, Dave.
He was on Saturday Night Live with them, though. With the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, and then he's like, fuck this. Fuck Tom Petty.
Said, hey, don't you talk about me that way. Fuck, that's Gordon. That's Gordon Lightfoot. Sorry.
His buddy. Episode was written by Shelley Scarrow and directed by the great Phil Earnshaw. Now, I haven't really been paying attention to release dates or if we've even been saying them, but this one caught me because it said it was released on June 29th. So I don't know if this is like we've had a period of stopping maybe and we've caught up into the late, like midsummer, or we maybe just naturally been going and I haven't paid attention. So it seemed like a later date than I was expecting.
If I recall, because the U.S. actually started ahead of Canada and then Canada catches up and then moves ahead. But supposedly in the States, they had a couple of breaks in the season over the course of releasing these.
Yeah. Okay. So the episode opens at the fictitious Banting University. I don't know why they couldn't use real names, but I guess, I don't know, something.
It's Queens, everybody. It's Queens.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's Queens, which is found in Kingston for non-Canadian listeners, which is what I assumed as well. So it's opening up with Paige, and what we learn a little bit later is her statistics class, and she's taking what is shown to be a very stressful test, which I guess is sort of in and around midterm-ish time for Canadian school, because it's just right before Thanksgiving. There seems to be a lot of like strange questions being thrown up on the board with a lot of like nonsense math in it that would not be the type of stuff you would do in a first year statistics course. But we're led to believe this is very stressful, and Paige is dressed, you know, very casual, as I said, very college-esque. She's in like sweatpants and a hoodie, but we're led to believe, I guess, it's not her usual style. Like, I've never seen a test like this where it's like one question projected, you got it in front of you, and you've got a very limited time. Have you guys ever, when you guys went to post-secondary, was there ever any kind of test like that for you guys?
No.
I never remember anything like that.
No, like, I can't imagine that a professor would administer a test like that, because they have to be active throughout the fucking like 2 hour session, switching questions and making announcements. They just want to hand the paper out and then sit around and do nothing.
Well, half the time when I was in school, the professors weren't even at the exams.
Yeah.
It was TAs.
Yeah. So this was a little bit bizarre and very old technology. They were using, I don't know what they were called in English, because I went to French immersion school. We called them le rétro projecteur. So.
No, no way to figure that one out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm confused. Mm-hmm. What does that
look
mean?
Confused.
Yep. What is it?
Me. Qu'est-ce que c'est? It's like how les Français can't say pretzel; they have to call it un bretzel.
It was la machine frite avec sauce, is what it was called.
What?
So confused.
Such a versatile term.
Yeah. So we get from the music playing and her reactions, we're learning that Paige is struggling with the course, and then we'll learn in general she's just struggling at school. But she, as the pictures or questions, pop by, and she doesn't have time to answer it, and the kids are looking around at her. She's starting to have a panic attack. We notice the girl beside her shooting daggers, and then she rushes out of the class, and then we get the opening credits. So. Paige is in some distress.
Yes.
All right, we come back from credits into Paige's dorm, and as it's cutting through the dorm, we see that everyone's sort of partying. They're just ripping it up in the hallways, but except for Paige, who's in a room all alone.
So I think you all went to residence, right? I did not. Is this accurate?
Yep. Well, at times.
It's the middle of the day. Like, no.
Yeah, I guess maybe not. Like, if it's exam time, though, when people are all done, maybe it's a little wild.
It's quiet hours. It's quiet hours until the last exam. So unless this is the last day, last exam, which it's not, because she still has exams. Now there's quiet hours. They were enforced. You get a fine. You get $10. $10 a lot back when I was going to school.
That's a lot of money.
Years ago.
$10.
I was surprised by the open... not alcohol, but they had their open cups just carrying them around, which would be pretty no-no when I was there. There was no way to show you were drinking.
What if it was just water?
Yeah, that's
what it was.
Officer, what? It was just water.
Yeah, it was water.
Yeah.
I think everything is normal in this scene. I did all of that. Especially in the middle of the day.
You were like, where's the cocaine? This isn't real until the cocaine shows up.
That's my motto. You know that.
Uh-huh.
It is.
Cocaine Courtney.
That's what they call me.
So we see that Paige is alone in her room, and she's stuck in the middle of a solitaire game, struggling to sort of, I guess, get her sorts together. But before we move any further, can we comment on the size of her room?
It's a pretty big fucking room.
Like, it's gigantic. Yeah.
She doesn't have a roomie. Yeah.
A what?
I don't know.
A roomie?
I mean, even if she does, that room is huge. Like,
there's so much space between her bed and her desk. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's huge.
So unrealistic.
This is not realistic.
It's the most unrealistic part of this episode.
So Paige picks up her phone, and we find out she's going to call Alex. She gets Alex's voicemail. She starts by apologizing for not calling sooner. Like, I don't even know if they'd been talking at all. The show hasn't really hinted at it, I don't believe. But she starts to sort of rant a little bit to Alex about, like, her school life issues. You know, has Alex ever felt like a subway constantly running over her lungs? Because that's what she kind of feels like. And she finishes by saying she hopes Alex is still going to Marco and Dylan's palatial estate for the weekend.
Important to note at this point, she's going home for Thanksgiving. For our American listeners, yep. Thanksgiving happens 5 weeks after Labor Day. So Paige has been at Banting for 5 weeks. Important to note as we go through these episodes.
It's always the second Sunday or Monday, I guess, think about it, in October.
Yeah.
In Canada. So they haven't been there for a very long time. America.
Yeah.
We fought a war over this. That's what the War of 1812 was.
It's over when Thanksgiving happens, yes.
Take that, Yankees.
We called it the Turkey Standoff for...
Thanksgiving's in October! That was our battle cry.
It's November!
I mean, the Americans won that war because American Thanksgiving is fucking so much better than Canadian Thanksgiving. So, just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Is there?
Yes.
Better about it?
If Thanksgiving, there was a saying in Canada, it's like, oh, it's Thanksgiving this weekend? This weekend? Or next weekend? Oh, this weekend. Oh, geez, okay. Oh, long weekend, right on, nice. That's here to the Yukon. Yeah.
What about Friday? You Friday off? No, PD day, though, for the kids? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No, it's better in the States. They get 2 days off plus the weekend, so it's a four-day weekend, and there's Black Friday, and there's football all day on Thanksgiving. It's fucking amazing.
It's bigger than Christmas in a lot of spots in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Like, Thanksgiving, people are like, yeah, I'm going to go home and see my family. I really miss them. Christmas, they're like, what? Fuck my family. Like, I'm not going anywhere.
Thanksgiving, they spend the weekend pretending they're grateful for everything, and then fucking Monday, they run each other over to get a fucking sale on a, I don't know.
Damn right.
Is that America?
Yes.
Sorry, yeah. Stacey.
Fuck it.
Not you, Stacey, though. Not you. We'll keep you.
Yeah. Yeah. Not any of our American friends that we know for real.
Yeah, you're different. Yeah. You're the different ones.
Yeah. You're the cool ones.
So if you're American, you're hearing this, none of this applies to you. It's just those other people.
Yeah.
Unless you ran over somebody for an air fryer. Then.
Depends on what kind of air fryer it was. Like,
yeah, it could be a great deal. All right, so we bounce back to Paige's class at the end of class, and the professor, who we learn is Professor James, who I actually did my Arlo for this episode, was played by someone named Brooke Johnson, who I noticed had over 40 acting credits. Some of the great Canadian highlights like Psy Factor and Street Legal and Due South, Forever Night. But her biggest role I noticed was that she was contestant number one on an episode of Baywatch.
Oh, all right.
But at that point, then I actually noticed she actually won two Geminis, for one for a leading role and one for best supporting actress for something I had never heard of before. So actually kind of an accomplished actress.
Wow. You know what else is kind of amazing? It's a white-haired woman named Brooke. It's weird. That's like a young person's name, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Good job, Brooke. You did it.
Jesus.
Fuck, Trailblazer. Nice.
So in pure university fashion, she asked to speak to Paige Michalczuk at the end of class. So she has no idea who her students are. And as a teacher, that's one of the things our kids realize when they go away to university is that, oh, wow, the teachers really don't know who we are. It's like, no, they don't care who you are either. So Paige heads up, and we learn that the professor, Jane, seemed to be very serious, and she wants to know why she ran out of her exam. Paige admits that she's struggling to sleep and gets blamed for partying too much, but she admits that she has to work all the time and that she didn't know there was so much math in this course. And Professor Jane says, well, welcome to college.
Yeah, no shit. Now, like,
granted, we would say welcome to university, but they're Americanizing this thing for the audience. But she says, welcome to college.
And Paige, I mean, I didn't know what I was getting into. It's like, you're going to the most prestigious school. Your mom went to that school. You had to get scholarships to go to that school. It's all you fucking talked about. You get there and you're like, oh, like, it's school. It's not like easy. It's like, hard. What? Yeah.
Oh, school. Yes, Paige, school.
Yeah.
You big dummy.
So Professor James tells her that she needs to pass this course to stay in the program. To which I question, stats 101, you need to pass. Come on. Mm-hmm. Like, this course is not hard. It should not be.
Hey. It's first not that easy stats. Either.
First year stats. Not hard.
Oh, speak not for yourself. We got a stats nerd.
Not a stay in the program kind of course.
Nerd alert! Nerd alert! I sucked at stats. Beep, beep. Just kidding.
So Paige, you know, in a very adult way, she asks for help because she says she's seconds from losing her scholarship. And then Professor Jane just said, you know, not everyone's cut out for Banton.
I mean,
oh my god!
Shots fired.
Like, fuck, 6 weeks in.
Yeah, Professor Biatch. It's great.
Yeah.
Right.
Relax.
Exactly. Then Paige goes on a rant. Paige goes on a rant about being a Banting girl because her mom was a Banting girl. She just needs to do better at Banting, to which that professor probably rolled her eyes so heavily.
Yeah, it's like, make her even less interested in helping you. Like, shut the fuck up.
Right?
Yeah.
And see all the Banting sweaters in class? Nobody wears those.
No.
You don't wear your school hoodie to class.
No, it's kind of
losers.
I go here. Yeah, we get
oh, you do. You do.
In class, yeah. You nerd. Also, get some new friends, Paige. Like, you're calling your high school friends. Like, grow up. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, get off
for 6 weeks. Let them go.
So, basically, what we're saying is the next three episodes are set up to make us feel sorry for Paige and what she's going through. And 5 minutes into the first one, your hosts don't give a fuck. It's like, it's great. Here we go, everyone.
On brand, Alan.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go.
Like, oh, one panic attack. Ooh.
Lame.
You're breathing
you bad.
Hard?
Yeah.
You nasty.
Try having five in a row with kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Take that, child.
You suck.
So Professor Jane's just kind of relinquished and says, okay, I'm going to give you a take-home midterm, but on top of the 20-page essay, to which I said, come on, and chapter summaries, and of which no one would ever check. But as long as she has that stuff done, she might be okay. Paige says she won't let down, and in true professor fashion, Jane says, it makes no difference to her.
Yeah.
Just don't let yourself down as she walks away.
I'm still getting paid.
Like, I got tenure, bitch.
I got Banting money.
Banting, bitch.
So as she walks away, she gives Paige a Monday at 5 p.m. due date, to which you have to realize that Monday would be a day off because it's Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So to point out, you got to do all this over Thanksgiving weekend. So, well, she's not really giving her a chance, but she's giving her a chance.
Well, and also, so it's Thanksgiving weekend. Monday would be a day off. We're going to see later. Paige is there on a Monday. So,
yeah.
So down the road, things are going to happen when school is open on Monday. It's great.
Yeah. And people might be a little surprised.
Yeah.
So we bounce to Degrassi and it's
fucking so bad. I hate everything in this.
Take it away if you want.
No, you can
explain.
Say it. I just, it's so fucking painful.
This whole part's awful. So, Peter is sitting in the hallway throwing a ball to himself. So now I kind of wrote down, every time I see him now, I figure he has set something up. Like, he's planning something bad. So he's waiting for Darcy to come, who's walking down the hallway carrying a couple bags. Apparently, he's waiting there because he got the keys from his mom to open the cafeteria because Darcy is hosting what we will learn is like a homeless dinner, Thanksgiving dinner.
Homeless party. It's a party for homeless people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
So he tries to interject himself into her life, and she shuts him down pretty quickly. But then he gets up and fuck off. Talks about how he's going to go back to media immersion class to check out more hot pics of her on her MyFace page.
Yeah. So
like, what are we doing?
Yeah. So when we last saw Peter and Darcy, Peter set up a situation where a pedophile went to Darcy's house, confronted her, and had to get dragged away by the cops. That's the last that we saw of them. And now we're in this situation. And again, we know where this is heading to them dating everybody. I'm just going to spoil it. This is heading to them.
No,
this is heading to
Shut
them.
Up. Seriously?
We are leading to them dating. This is the start of their courtship. And so not only is she like, remember when you sent the pedophile to my house? Like, fuck off. I never want to speak to you again. Instead, she entertains his bullshit a little bit. But then when she's, you know, starting to blow him off, he doubles down and he's like, those pics that that pedophile was looking at, they're back up online. I may as well go check them out. Like, he throws it in her face.
It's so gross.
Coercion. It's really like this super like aggressive. Like, it's almost like mentally violent.
Yeah.
So bad.
Like, he's planned this. I'm telling you. Like, it's like every time he's on the screen now, he has concocted some shitty situation. Mm-hmm. So Darcy continues to reject him and pulls out some Bible quote and then asks him to read some other Bible quote and be back at school at 7 a.m. on a Saturday, to which Peter doesn't understand. He says, I don't even think the buses run on a Saturday or that early on a Saturday, because we need to remember that he doesn't have his license.
Yeah.
We then jump to Dylan and Marco. So Paige shows up to a very excited Alex, who rushes to the door, but she blows right by her, complaining about her parents' renovation plans to Dylan. So I guess Paige was supposed to go home, and instead they're having Thanksgiving at Dylan and Marco's. Marco comes in offering her some sort of dessert. I couldn't even figure it out. I thought it said Janetta. I tried to look it up online. I couldn't figure out what it was. So Paige doesn't like it anyway.
But you talk about, like, I would have thrown those cookies right at her face, because she's like, ew. You imagine, like, baking something like all morning, and then like somebody goes, ew, this is so bad. It's like, I don't like you. You're not my friend. I actually hate you. What is going on here?
It's like,
maybe I'm
that's how kids are every day, but you can't say that to them.
Yeah, if you own them. I hate you.
Eat it. Fucking eat it.
So for a second episode in a row, we conveniently learn that Ellie has gone home to do her laundry, or gone home, and then Kiko and Suki are at Niagara Falls. So we've set everything up that it's just certain people in this house now. And we learned that Marco is making the famous Michael Chuck family Thanksgiving dinner. And I said, of course they can fit everyone in this house for a Thanksgiving dinner. And it's
the mansion.
It's huge.
As a, probably like, have a chef's as a university student.
Yeah.
As a first year university student, you're having a Thanksgiving dinner with two families and more people with all the trimmings and all that stuff. You are broke as shit in school. Yeah. Like, this is just out there. Like, no. No.
You're hoping you can find the cheapest pizza place to have dinner on a Friday night.
You're lucky if you get a sandwich with turkey roll on it. You know that stuff? You know that compressed, like, turkey loaf? You know, it's a sandwich meat.
Like mock chicken?
Mock chicken, yeah. Like, it's like that.
Can we also note, so this is Thanksgiving. So, again, we're 5 years into the school year, if we go by the Canadian standard, right? Mm-hmm. So far, Ellie has got a job at the school newspaper, fallen in love with Jesse, Manny did cocaine with Craig. Craig came back, Manny was with him, then they broke up, she's dating somebody else. Ellie cheated on Jesse, Jesse cheated on Ellie, they're in love, they have coupons. Spinner and Drake opened a fucking store, right, where they sell t-shirts in downtown Toronto. Robbed. Yeah, like, Sean's been in and out of jail. Like, this is a lot of shit in 5 weeks. Yeah, and then a kid got murdered. Sorry, yes.
Yeah, yeah. 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I think I lost to be thankful for at dinner.
Yeah.
They really don't. They don't have anything to be thankful for. This is a hellscape. Where are they living?
Why am I here?
So we learned that both sets of parents are going to come to the house, but Marco's family still doesn't know that him and Dylan are a couple.
And also,
you need to build us up.
Yeah, like when Marco said his parents were showing up, it would be like if Ted said the word treat or walk around his dog Linda. That's how I mm-hmm. reacted. I'm like, what? Marco's dad?
Yeah, I was getting to that.
Holy shit.
I was like,
yeah.
So my family's coming over. I'm like, don't you play with me, Degrassi. Don't you dare play with me.
How dare you?
You better show him. You better show Mr. Del Rossi.
But more importantly, Alex shows Paige some welcome back sign that she seemed to shittily made in an art class in school. She's like, do you like it? And it's like, no, it's really bad.
Uh-huh. Good she says job, she Alex. Understands that.
that Paige needs some help and says they need to catch up regardless of the work Paige has, because Paige keeps pointing out she's got so much work to do. And we jump to the nighttime. And though, even though Paige says she's got to be up at cock-a-doodle dawn to work, she wants to spend the night with Alex in a platonic way.
Nobody ever would ever say, ever say that.
I say it all the time. That's my saying. I was like, how'd you steal that from me? Yeah.
That's his, as we say, that's his gimmick.
Yeah.
Say it right now, then, Alan.
Cock-a-doodle dawn.
There you go. See? Oh,
so natural.
Came out so easily. Just rolled off your tongue.
Yeah.
Also with this, I don't know if you're there yet, but they go, okay, good night. And Alex just like turns her face to the back of the couch and is like sitting up. So she's going to sleep like a crazy person, sitting like kind of slouched, and they're both going to sleep on the couch.
Well, Paige, what the hell? Paige lies down on the couch, right? So she's got her head on the arm of the couch, and then she's got her knee, like she's got her legs up, right? So her knees are in the air, and Alex is just sitting there and leans on her knees and goes to sleep. And I'm like, what? You're going to sleep like that?
Your neck sleeping is like a cowboy.
So sore in the morning.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's like you're in the fucking trenches in World War One and have no choice.
Yeah.
So before Alex falls asleep, she mentions just to Paige at how good she's doing in school. She'd be very proud of her. She's like a straight A student, and maybe she'll be at Banting with her the following year. And then she falls asleep on sitting up on the couch. So we move to the next morning. Well, we're rest. Back at Degrassi. Peter seems to think he's getting somewhere because he brings Darcy flowers until he finds out he's helping feed the homeless, to which he basically said, get the dirt off of me, the way he's reacting to it. I'm surprised he just literally didn't do a full body shiver when he heard he was helping the less fortunate.
This is 7 o'clock in the morning. He showed up. He didn't know why he's showing up to the school at 7 o'clock in the morning. So, like, he's commuting at 6:30. He probably got up at, I don't know, 5:45 in the morning with no questions of why he was showing up at the school. Just that the bus doesn't run that early. Like, you didn't think to ask why? Like,
why?
You think she's going to, like, put out when you get to the school at 7 o'clock?
Do you think she's just
waiting for you? Like, oh, nothing gets me more excited than early, early morning weekends.
What? At school. So Darcy,
they're not even doing it to make a movie in the school.
Yeah,
so boring.
That's right.
Like, yeah. God, that would be worth it.
Yeah, I thought we only filmed movies on the weekends here.
Yeah.
Dum 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 dum.
Dum dum dum
dum. Uh huh. Dice ball.
The door is open.
It's open.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, great.
So Darcy goes on about wondering if he read the Bible verse, to which he said yes. He mumbled something about it, to which she said something about the forgiveness you want is a reward you need, so she need to earn it. So again, as I mentioned, we've already talked about, let's not forget what he did to Darcy and Darcy's friend Manny and Manny's friend Emma and Emma's boyfriend Sean. But okay, like you will get your forgiveness if you help me today.
Uh-huh.
She says, start by peeling the apples. She smirks and gives him a hairnet, and then and then did anyone see the look the apple peeler gave her when she gave him that job? She looked like, I fucking hate you, Darcy.
Well, that
you made me apples.
That's the girl that was freaking out earlier about, was it the abortion thing? Or no, gay. Like, she didn't like gay people. Because Mark was doing the blood drive thing or whatever. And yeah, that's, she was in the Bible group. So she's a bigot, basically, is what I'm saying. So it's cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
So then we skip across to Marco and Dylan's. We get Paige waking up, and you can see that she's already regretting that she has to get to work. And there's a lot of noise coming from the kitchen because the boys are trying to figure out what they need for their Thanksgiving dinner. And she decides to come into the room and calm them down. And Marco was going on about something about Dylan screaming, I love turkey, in his sleep. And then Marco surprised Alex slept the night, and Dylan said, I screamed it because I love turkey. So, okay. But Paige, instead of sort of getting to work, she comes out, tries to, like, gets mad at them for being so loud, to which Marco basically has no time for Paige's shit. Says, settle down. You know, we got to do this. And then she, you know, she realizes, here, I'll help you guys. She did a quick search online and figured out how to make turkey and gravy, because they were funny about how to make the gravy. So we're starting to learn that Paige also knows how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the big thing. Paige is an incredible chef. So we get a knock on the door, and Paige's mom shows up. She's bringing some dishes and some recipes. Paige is trying to bring up to her the issue she's having at school, but the mom's more concerned about the renos than talking to her daughter, to which I said, probably dealing with Paige for 17 years of her life, she's probably a little sick and used to learning looking the other way from her.
I was going to say, I'm already there after 10.
But also... Understood. We get the trope here, right, of Paige's mom constantly referencing, like, oh, Paige, you'll never let me down. Oh, the contractors, you know, they're going to let me down, unlike you, Paige. The contractors are going to fail all their exams and flunk out of school, unlike you, Paige. Like,
So the stuff from her mom sends Paige into another panic attack. Alice kind of just... doesn't notice her running off and didn't notice, but decides to check up on her. Paige then decides to scream at Alex for putting too much pressure on her and tells her to go back to her pathetic high school life and her pathetic fake high school girlfriend. So Paige is overreacting.
Uh-huh.
Did I say before? I said it last episode, but I hate all these children. Anyways, proceed.
You go did. Ahead.
Well, and I'm wondering, like, what behavior here is supposed to make, like, I think we're supposed to be feeling sorry for Paige in this episode, and, like, so far they've done nothing to make me feel that way at all, right? It's like, oh.
No, nothing.
So you suck at, so you were a sucky bitch throughout all of high school, then you went to Banting and you sucked there, and now you're mean to your friends. So
because school is hard.
Yeah.
You're learning that.
You went to the bookstore and bought the Banting shirt, and now you think that's enough to propel you to a scholastic excellence.
Yeah.
Like, give it up. Like, actually study. Get off fucking solitaire. Like, stop playing that. Like, actually do some work.
Solitaire's a good game, though.
I don't know how to play. You'll have to show me.
I mean, she should have been playing.
All these years, I don't know how.
She should have been playing Minesweeper. I'm like, what is she, my dad? Solitaire?
I fucking love Minesweeper.
Yeah.
Whatever. Solitaire's good too.
I like.
Also,
Solitaire.
Don't know how to play.
I know.
And I'd always get the bomb.
Don't pretend like you're open to learning. You specifically said,
"Oh,
don't you ever fucking show me that game again."
I grabbed you by the lapels.
You did.
Yeah. No. I would glaze over if you actually tried to teach me. If you said, "Yeah, okay, I'll teach you," I'd be like, "Yeah." Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While we're at it, let's not sleep on the game of hearts either. Solid game. Solid game to play.
Okay, Dad.
Jeez, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, I think
he said
the boys are trying to find space in the fridge for all the Thanksgiving food. Marco says, "I'll take over because I'm better at fridge Tetris." Very Marco thing to say. They're fighting over should the turkey go in. Dylan says the turkey can stay out. Marco saying, "No, the turkey needs to go in." Paige comes over and says, "We can't get salmonella." So she decides to take over all the cooking. And I said, in a matter of any time, like true guys, the moment they find out someone else will do it, they bounce out of that room super fast and say, "I'm out of here. Peace out."
Also, it's the morning and they're serving the turkey in the evening. That turkey doesn't need to be in the fridge. Like,
No, it's got to get in the oven.
Yeah.
You ain't eating that turkey because that looks like a frozen turkey. I know it's a hotly contested issue on this past episodes. One Arlo was talking about eating turkey just outside of Thanksgiving. But anyways, we're talking about Thanksgiving. If that turkey is frozen in the morning, you ain't having turkey in the evening.
Yeah.
Unless you're having frozen raw turkey for supper. No, not going to happen.
Turkey sushi. Turkey sushi.
Sushi, turkey tartar.
Ugh.
Barf.
I'll take the salmonella bowl. So all of a sudden, we skip some time, and here we go, gentlemen. Are you ready?
Here we are.
Well, there's a knock at the door, and like the gates opening to heaven, we get the return of one Mr. Del Rossi.
There's fucking coins that fly in the door. Big mushroom comes in the door. It's just, it's amazing.
It's me.
Uh-huh.
Did somebody say my name? And then like there's an in-studio audience all of a sudden like, "Hey!
Woo!
Ow!"
What a day. What a day it was when I watched this episode. So he comes in and he quickly comments on how great the place looks. And I'm kind of surprised he doesn't mention, you know, I'm always surprised the deal you guys can find for a downtown Toronto house on a university budget. But you know what? He comes in and he is in all his glory and everyone loves that he's there.
Uh-huh.
And then we bounce to the Michael Chucks arriving. Paige's dad comes in and makes fun of Dylan's hair, and Dylan in turn makes his fun of his dad's baldness. So, I mean, I don't know. I think this is supposed to show that, you know, a dad can accept his gay son, right? Like maybe because Marco kind of hides it from his dad a little bit, this is to show that it's okay. Like they get along perfectly fine. I don't know.
Well, Marco's dad knows he's gay, but now he won't, but they can't tell him that they're dating, right? So,
yeah. With his reaction to Alex and her girlfriend, I'm not sure he's still 100% happy with like or understanding of same-sex lifestyles, but at least he knows, I guess, Marco's gay.
He takes the spit take.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're coming up to that one. He owned that one. So we quickly learn that that Paige can apparently out-chef Arlo because she shows up with a butternut squash soup with frizzled leeks and creme fraiche.
And what the fuck?
And and again, it's another opportunity for Paige's mom to keep going like, my perfect Paige doesn't fuck up at school and doesn't wear sweatpants and a dumbass fucking sweater at school. She is perfect. And yeah,
she won the Brownie's Best Brownie Award at age 6. Ugh. Who the fuck cares?
Hey, I do.
Sorry.
That's not even an award.
So, Mark, we get a cut to Marco's mom saying she wishes she always had a daughter. Dylan quips he's glad she didn't. Marco gives him a little bit of a smack, but she also didn't say she didn't want Marco, you dummy. She just said she always wished she had a daughter.
Oh, ouch.
Mm-hmm.
So we get another group that shows up to Thanksgiving dinner. We get Alex and her imaginary girlfriend. She wanted to make sure that Paige was okay after her breakdown, which catches her mom's attention. And then Paige, in all of her Paigeness, just calls Alex, who we are led to believe is one of her best friends, a pathological liar.
Uh-huh. Also, poor Carla. Like, Carla, I just don't see Carla's like, oh, we're going to go over to your ex's place with all this family and no one I fucking know? That sounds like fun. Like,
awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you people are crazies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe she's like...
That does sound like fun. I would love that.
Maybe she was like, this is bullshit. Like, so who's going to be there? Well, my ex and her family. Yeah, that sounds like stupid. And my friend Marco, I don't know who that is. And his dad. Oh, fuck. Yeah, I'm in.
Like, oh, Mr. Del Rossi. Yeah. I know about him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going.
So we get a quick cut to Del Rossi asking her to sit down for dinner and say, you know, Alex introduces to your friend. So Alex introduces her to Carla, her imaginary girlfriend. To which Mr. Del Rossi does one of the greatest spit takes in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And just, what are you talking, girlfriend?
What are you talking about? That two girls can't the fuck? What do you say? Who a put it? Who's a put a what in the what?
How do you do it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What do you do? It's, what, a scissor? You scissor each other.
What does that mean? Mm-hmm.
Scissor. I use the scissors at the printing press. I chop up the paper, but I don't know. Otherwise, I don't know. Oh.
Uh-huh.
So Carla, who's played by a woman by the name of Janelle Williams, I just want to point this out. She's on some shows and stuff, but I remember her from a show I used to watch when I was younger called Radio Free Roscoe, which was this cool like show about these high school kids who ran a pirated radio station.
Really?
Yeah. It was kind of like one of those sort of Family Channel type shows, but it was one of those shows that me and my buddies would watch. We were too old to watch it, but because we would come home from the bar and it was playing late at night, we would just sit and watch it. And it was this high school kids that ran a radio station, which would be right up your alley, Alan, and the kids all loved to listen to it, but the principal didn't know where they were broadcasting from, and there was just hijinks and stuff like that. We'd watch it all the time. I loved the show. She was one of the characters.
You know I love hijinks, so
hijinks and yeah. So we get the idea that Alex is trying to stick it a little bit to Paige's face here because she didn't believe anything that she was talking about. Now we jump back to our favorite person, Peter, who is just trying to take away a homeless man's plate. The homeless man won't let him and starts going on and like, I mean, what I didn't know was a different language. It almost sounded like gibberish to me. But apparently, It's Greek. And Peter seems to know some Greek because, well, his mom's last name is Hatzilakos, so there's obviously some Greek. So he said he learned it from his papu and mentions, I think the man wants another slice of pie or cake or something like that. And you know what? Darcy seems smitten. So all it seemed to take was a little bit of Greek for Darcy to fall head over heels for Peter.
I mean,
like, what the fuck?
I don't know. I mean, Peter would be like, Darcy, are you into Greek? Because you know what that means, right? Anyone?
No. What does it mean, Alan?
Have you been to Urban Dictionary? Greek. Oh, no. Greek is for in the, you know, in the butt.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What is it?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
It's not just gibberish?
Nope. According to Urban Dictionary, Greek sex. Anal sex, the act of anal intercourse between a man and a woman, and then some other terms for it. Bend over and take in the ass is what it says. So
there we go.
I love the synonyms.
Yeah.
Greek? Yeah. Like, how can you use it in a sentence, please?
It would just be like, oh, is she
Greek you?
Yeah, no, is she into Greek? That's, yeah, just a thing.
Into Greek?
Yeah.
I've never, ever, ever heard that.
Well, you learned something tonight, Courtney, so there you
go. Educating people across the podcast universe.
Yeah. Right?
So, like, with the expression, it's all Greek to me. It's like, it's all anal.
Ooh.
I don't think it's like that, but I don't know.
We will bounce back to the Rossi Michaelchuk house. Everyone's gushing over Paige's cooking. The pomegranate dressing was exquisite. And as I mentioned, you know, maybe her mom says she got the Graham Chase scholarship to cooking school. Well, that'll be a shout out to our other half of our podcast for a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because one old Graham Chase in my so-called life all of a sudden became just a chef.
Yep.
Having learned nothing but go to a night class about cooking. So all of a sudden we get into what I would deem a bit of a pissing contest. The Michaelchuk family talking about how Dylan's getting hockey offers in Switzerland, but then Carla's an honor student at Toronto U's and the Toronto U's distance running captain. Banting wanted Paige for their power squad bullshit, but it was called cheerleading. It's actually still called cheerleading. Paige's mom starts a rant about Paige's glorious future. Banting has the most prestigious MBA program. And then her mom brings up Paige's big announcement, to which she just obviously doesn't want to talk about the fact that she's struggling in school. So she says, oh, my big announcement is turkey is ready. Paige heads into the kitchen, has another slight panic attack, but opens the oven and the smell of the turkey seems to settle her down.
Great.
What a scene.
What a load of shit. Oh my God. I'm having a panic attack. Stick your head in the oven. Smell the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ridiculous.
Turkey. Definitely stick your head in the oven, Paige. Definitely.
Maybe that's what she was actually thinking about and smirking. I could just end it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. No. No, no.
No?
I don't think so.
No. Turkey.
She just needs the tryptophan to help her anxiety, maybe? I don't know.
She needs the walnut stuffing smell.
She should be back. I'm going to play the old man here. She should be back at school studying. Why is she even here? If she has so much work to do and she's so behind, she has these papers. Doing it at Plop House, this party house, is no good. Go home. Go back to your residence or wherever.
I mean, you can certainly see how these problems have come up. Yeah. So, yeah. And again, look, I don't want to discount that some people flame out at school and that school's not for everybody and that that's got to be a stressful experience. Like, clearly that shit happens. But the way that they're presenting it in this show, I'm like, where's the part where I'm supposed to feel sorry for her?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like the meme of the guy riding the bike and then sticking the rod in his own spokes. And then he's on the ground and he's like, damn you, Trudeau, you know, so
that's like Trudeau.
Yeah, that's like Paige with her school right now. She's done all the damage to herself.
It's super ham-fisted, I think.
Yeah,
because while it starts off like panic and stuff like that, absolutely legit, all that stuff, but like you go, oh, there's so many things you're doing wrong to your own life and you're just ignoring, like, yeah, it just takes away any push to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Agree. And I like earlier in the episode, like, she has a stupid panic attack in class. And, like, essentially the teacher's, like, support for her is, like, you got to do way more work.
And yeah, more work. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Like, cool. That'll calm me down.
So we go back to Thanksgiving at Degrassi. It looks like it's been, they're cleaning up after, I guess, what they felt has been a successful day feeding the less fortunate. So Darcy's feeling good about her forgiveness. Peter offers to give Darcy a ride home. Darcy says, sure, but then says, isn't your license still suspended? Peter assures her that everything is hunky-dory. He says, I didn't hit the guy. The judge let me go. We're good. So really, it's kind of gross, but Peter's game is on point right now, and he's reeling in Darcy. Darcy is falling for all of this.
Yeah, so realistic. It's great.
It's gross.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So back to Thanksgiving dinner. Paige enters proudly with the turkey, complete with traditional walnut stuffing. Her mom keeps pushing this news that she wants to tell everyone. She's like, is it the dean's list, a bursary, or even more importantly, a new boyfriend? Ooh, she says. Paige kind of ignores it as she goes to cut the turkey. What happens? It explodes like a grenade.
Uh-huh. Is that a thing that can happen?
Well, I would imagine some extent it could, because there's a lot of steam that could get stuck, but I'm not sure it would explode like that. But I don't know.
Unless you put, like, in the ingredients, you're like, okay, stuffing, put in a balloon, the flour for the gravy. Oh no, not that one.
Yeah.
I done goofed.
So everyone starts to laugh a little bit, but for some reason Alex thinks it's like a 90s comedy and just is laughing like it's the funniest thing she's ever seen, like she'd almost fallen off her chair. Paige leaves the room and starts breaking down again. Marco comes up just to, you know, to talk to her, saying, you know, everyone's worried about her, you know, except her dad, because, you know, he's still busy eating. Amazing.
His dad is still eating.
See that as a compliment.
Yeah, his dad is still eating. He's like, Mr. Don Ross, he's like, I don't give a shit about the bird or the stupid girl. Give me the food.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Where's
he's
the pasta?
He's still trying to fit his hands together as two scissors.
He's like, he's still stuck on the scissors.
Like, I don't understand.
Both legs go this way?
Neither of my scissors have the penis. I don't know what's going on here.
Which one? Which one is the boy? It's like, oh, Mr. Del Rossi, come on now.
So Paige finally confides to Marco that she's overwhelmed at school, and Marco, you know, tries to, like, help her by saying, listen, everyone's struggling right now. I even got a C minus on a paper, but this actually makes her feel worse, because I think she realizes he's actually still doing work and she can't even get the work in to get a C minus. So she says she needs to go back to school, which we already sort of discussed, we think is Queens, which is in Kingston, which is, you know, kind of about 3 hours away. Marco says, it's crazy. It's like 3 hours away. She says, don't worry about it. I'm gone. I'll say bye to my mom. And as Ted said, maybe she should have just stayed there originally.
Yeah.
Of course, that doesn't make a really great episode. It's just like her studying for 22 minutes.
And then getting a B+, and it's like, there you go. Problem solved.
Some good viewing.
So we jump to Peter's car. Peter's car is stopped at a stop sign, and he's revving it for some reason and bragging to Darcy that it does 250K an hour with four mods. I don't even know what that even means. I don't know what four mods means. I'm not a car guy, but apparently that gets Darcy pretty excited.
Well, those mods and that speed mean shit, because he gets pulled over by the bike cops. Like,
well, yeah, all of a sudden we get these two bright yellow jackets. And if you don't know, because you don't live in Toronto, that's what the bike cops wear in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, they're going to ask for his license and registration. And if anyone with any brain knows where this is going, but Darcy's wondering what they did. I'm kind of wondering what they did, too. I don't really know why they pulled him over.
I mean, cops are cops. So, yeah. I mean, the only part that I'm perplexed about is I'm like, look, Peter's white. Why would the cops harass him?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, would it be bad of me to say, like, if the cops, like, thought the pie was like a gun and they took their guns out and shot Peter, I would totally be fine with that.
Uh-huh.
And he holds up the pie Teddy's and they clapping. Shoot through it. Like, he's like, I would be okay with it. I'd be like, oh, good episode.
Well,
Peter
done.
Peter tells her, just relax. They just hassle people who can go faster than them, especially bike cops. And you know what I said? You know what cops really love? Being made fun of. That is number one on their list. They love, please make fun of me.
Oh, yeah. Cops love being talked back to and people defending themselves. Yeah, they love it.
They really
also,
deal
the
well with that.
The person you're in the passenger side going, why? Yeah, that's nice. That's great. I'm sure cops love that when somebody gets a bit of sass going. Like, why? Why are you pulling us over in the passenger seat? It's like, yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. They're gonna go easy on you. Yeah. You know it.
So they obviously call in the plates, the registration, his license, and they mention that he's gotta come out of the car because he's driving with a suspended license. Darcy's pissed and slams the pie in his face. She says she can't believe she actually started to like him. I said, do we need to review his timeline? Like, how is this even remotely an option for the writers?
How
right
are
now?
We
so
in this place?
To do.
How
Darcy
are we in this place?
Like,
hey, kids, if somebody sets you up with a pedophile, what you should do is date them the next time you see them together. That's a realistic thing that could happen. Like, this is so fucking stupid. Why? They could have just picked somebody else, right? Like, if they wanted to have Peter have some sort of love interest and explore this thing where it's like, oh, I feel bad because his parents suck ass. Why does it have to be Darcy, right?
Yeah.
Like,
there's any girl.
It suck, Alan. It suck Greek. Thank you very much.
Sorry. Yes. Pardon me. Sucked a lot of Greek.
So we're back to Paige's dorm. She's just sitting there spinning on her chair. She can't get into the work. So she decides to throw all her work in the garbage and then throw a lit candle. Now, Ted, maybe you can help us, being someone who lived on dorms a little bit longer. I don't remember ever being allowed to have lit candles in a dorm room.
Yeah, this is not the 90s. Like, it's in the 2000s. You wouldn't be allowed to open flame.
No, like, there's no
in your dorm room. 90s
all
go crazy.
You can't even have a hot plate. You can't even bring a hot plate.
No.
You go to, but back in the 90s, go to the Great Canadian Dollar Store and fire up that incense. You'd be that shitty toxic incense that everyone's
burning. Setting the mood,
burning.
Teddy.
Oh, yeah, great. No, more like poisoning ourselves. It's like, oh, this smells like jasmine. Ugh. It smells like horse shit. Yeah, so.
Yeah, by Greek.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right?
So, not so much.
I always like to think back to, like, you know, just comparing the 90s in university then to now, and like my frosh week and probably some of your frosh weeks, and like the shit that was organized and like approved by adults is
it's
mind blowing. We like I always talk about this, but my favorite day of our frosh week was we have a ski hill that is also a water park in the summer, Mount Cascade. They closed the whole thing for Carleton University frosh week. But like, they had the water slides open and everything, and they were selling $2 beer. So
what a day!
All got loaded and went down fucking water slides.
The shout out, Arlo. What can possibly go wrong? Uh-huh.
Right? It was fucking amazing. But yeah, I guess that's not going to happen anytime soon.
No. So then she just no. My God, no. Well, they're all dry frosh weeks now, aren't they? I believe there's no.
Well, yeah, there. Yours were probably all filled with like frat boys like hurting people at Western.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the actual events.
Frat boys hurt people.
Yeah, frat boys hurt people.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
FBHP, love it for life.
We had t-shirt. We had sweaters made and everything.
I'm not surprised.
No, never, never a frat guy. That is not my jam at all. So she throws her lit candle in the garbage, and then all of a sudden it starts on fire like the driest leaves in the forest.
And I think to myself, because they end the episode here, and I'm like, did the school burn down and Paige just burn down in it? Because great, like...
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Move on. What's the next storyline?
I guess we won't know till next week. She smirks for a second, then she realizes once the fire goes haywire that she's made a mistake, and we cut to the to be continued.
Great.
So Paige turns into a freaking caveman. She's like, oh, fire. Oh, fire, bad. Ah. She just realizes it. Didn't you know what was going to happen, you big dummy? You big dummy cave person?
Maybe if we get lucky, a super smart dog will jump in and save the day from us.
Oh, please.
We can only love it. Hope.
So next week, we get the thrilling conclusion with Free Falling Part 2. Paige finally throws in the towel when one disaster after another keeps happening at college, university. She returns to Toronto and vows to keep her failure a secret, no matter what the cost.
Oh,
Peter
really?
Is a changed man, bullshit, but his lies are catching up with him as Darcy continually rejects his apologies. Can he find a way to get through to her? And Alan's already told us he does.
Does it? Sorry, did they say Peter is a changed man? That was the first sentence.
Yeah, that's what it says on IMDb. That's why I said bullshit.
Okay, so they're saying Peter is a changed man, but then the second line right after that is, but his lies are catching up to him. Okay?
He's a changed man. Wink. Oh, come on. Oh, good Lord. Really? That's going to happen? This is it's my gimmick, but it's true. This is the furthest I've seen any of Degrassi right now, the end of this episode. Paige, I don't know. Maybe Paige dies in the flames. I don't know. And then Emma will somehow show up to burn down residence and go, look, Manny, this used to be Paige. And it's like, Emma, how are you inserting yourself in this? Like, you don't need to live in this city. Like, this is Kingston.
She's starting a go home Paige. Yeah. Go home Paige.
Well, Paige is dead.
Great.
She's a pile of ashes. Again, which I'm fine with.
So I must say, though, like at least I believe when I'm watching this show, like the girl who plays Paige is a pretty good actress.
Lauren Collins? I'll give this episode that. She's fine.
I'll give this episode. She's a good actress. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe everything from her. The episode's crazy. Very good actress. Like, we haven't seen her for a long time, and you get the sense, like, no, this girl can carry an episode.
The only thing they don't give her is any likability whatsoever. There's nothing, there's been no redeeming characteristics. I know, Rachel, hello, you were on the last episode, and you talked about Paige, but I'm like, I watched it fresh, and I'd never seen it before, but I don't look at Paige and go, that's a good person. I look at that and go, that's a terrible person, and they have, their family is bad, they're bad, everything's bad, I don't care about them.
Also, this episode marks the second to last time that we're going to see Marco's dad, so...
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, we've got one more time, guys.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
I got to put my head down on the desk.
Yeah.
To just kind of soak that in.
This is just like when we lost Mike and the Drifters.
Yes, it is.
Cool. Oh. I can't take another hit.
I know. Me neither.
Listen, if we ever do Kids of Degrassi Street, we will get reunited with him, just in a different form.
Oh, wonderful.
Horny.
What do we got up there in the nation's capital? Who we got there, Courtney?
It's me. I already said that. Hello. I'm here. And yes, this was a terrible representation of university life, but that's not surprising for this goddamn show. It makes me sad how lazy the writers are. Like we pointed out, you know, Peter's a changed man and then his lies are catching up to him.
Uh-huh.
Like, come on, writer. Come on. Who fucking wrote this? Phil? No.
Phil Earnshaw, Eleanor Lindo, fucking...
Shelley Scarrow.
Ugh, dumbass.
Get a grip. Huh. Like, just do a simple review of your script and then be like, oh yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. But that's... I think that's all I have to say. I'm trying to sneak in some World Series watching during the podcast. But it's not coming out so well. Yeah.
What's the score?
Okay, somebody else go then. Ted.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, hello, I'm Ted at Saywa3 on the Instagram machine. Let's throw it to Alain. Alain.
Hi, I'm at Alain. And I'm in Toronto, and you can look me up at Slip on the internet if you want. And narbosandbroomheads @gmail.com. Send me and all of us your ChatGPT fake Degrassi stories. We'd love to hear about them. And over to our host one more time.
Yeah, and I was your host, Tim, on Instagram @folly_t. That's all I got. Alan, send us away.
Wait. No, oh. I want to say something first. I just, since Halloween's next week, if anybody who's listening is deciding to dress up like a Degrassi character, they should send us their pictures.
Yes, narblesandbroomheads at gmail.com like or direct us to your Instagram. Send us a shout out at Narbos and Broomheads podcast on Instagram, and we will share.
Yeah, yeah. Send us home, Alan.
All right. I guess I'm just going to say it. See ya.
Bye.
Later.
What the hell? Okay,
bye. Well, I just said I was going to get my up. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe just to get to call my dreams. Everyone thinks